Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
All right, well, I've been doing a series on the book of Revelation. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been, the book of Revelation is probably, the most challenging book in the Bible. And yet, God is wanting you and I to know what's coming. So I want to just emphasize again, every event in the book of Revelation is going to happen. Every person that the Bible talks about is going to be there. In the same way that, through the prophets Isaiah and Zechariah in the Old Testament, they looked forward and prophesied things that were to come, and every single one of them were fulfilled. And so when you and I now look forward to, I believe we're at the end of the end times, that Christ could come tomorrow, he could come, in a week, he could come in a month, it could be a couple of years. I just believe, and I hear many other pastors say, we believe that we are at the end of the end times. And so we just want to be sure we're ready. And I'll tell you more in a moment. So what we've done so far is I've tried to kind of approach this, that some of you probably have been very experienced in reading the book of Revelation. Some of you may not have read it at all. So I've just tried to bring that balance of hopefully taking away any anxiety or fear about reading it, that it's hard. So we've talked about at the beginning. I'm going to do this quickly in 30 seconds. John was on the island of Patmos. Jesus appeared to him. They revealed a number of things. And then Jesus had John write seven letters to seven churches, which is in Revelation 2 and 3. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, Revelation 4 and 1, John hears a voice from heaven, and the voice says, come up here. And John suddenly leaves the island of Patmos and is standing in the throne room of God. And he looks around and he begins in chapter 4 to describe the incredible events that he's seeing. And when John left the earth and went to heaven, many people see that as a picture of the rapture before the terrible things of the tribulation begin. John was taken off the earth. He's in heaven with the Lord, which I believe the Lord's going to do for all of us. And so he describes what he sees in Revelation 4 and 5, and you need to read it. It's just John's first century mind trying to describe the incredible things he's seeing in heaven. Then John said, I saw a throne and one sitting upon it. It's God the Father, almost certainly. And John says, I saw a scroll in his right hand, but no one was able to take that scroll or open it. And John wept, but suddenly he sees Jesus, the Lamb of God, comes in, walks over. There's incredible worship going on. I spent almost one message talking about the worship that took place. If I did the math right, there will be 100 million angels in that place, and they are all worshiping the Lamb of God when he's in the throne room of God. It'll be an incredible moment that I believe you and I will be there for. And Jesus goes, takes the scroll out of the hand of the Father, and he opens a seal. And so for those who were here last week, you remember that Jesus opened the first seal and read a judgment, and that judgment was poured out on the earth. Then he opened a second seal, and there was another judgment. And we went through the seven seals. We went through the seven trumpets. There were seven angels, each with a trumpet. And each time an angel blew a trumpet, another judgment was poured out on the earth. And the judgments got worse. They were progressive. And after the seven trumpets, there was something called the seven bowls. If you read in the King James, it says vials, but seven bowls, seven angels, they each have a bowl. There's a judgment in the bowl, and when they get the command, they pour it on the earth, and the judgments are devastating. On one judgment, 25%, probably 1.8 billion people die from just one judgment. Another judgment, one-third of the people on the earth die that are remaining. Another judgment, all the seas turn to the blood of a dead man. So I presume, I mean, it's not a very nice image, but I presume that means coagulated, and it's just unbelievable. Like we, you know, and then these locusts, these demonic locusts that look like horses, John said he was trying to describe them to us, that are going to roam the earth, I think it was for 5 months, and sting people like a scorpion every time they come out. It's just horrendous. And we went through the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls. There's something I told you called a seven thunders. And because it's seven, 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 and then seven thunders, I'm guessing, it's a total guess, I could be wrong, that the seven thunders could also be judgments, but we're not sure. And you can just imagine, and then during that time, besides what God is doing on the earth, all during this seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist is who we're going to talk about this morning. The Antichrist has his work on earth that he is going to do. And so it is just a terrible, terrible time on the earth. And so one of the things that I've understood about God, about the character of God, is God has kept certain things mysteries for a period of time. But in the end times, you and I are right now, he's telling us everything. He's revealing, when I say everything, you know, that we need to know. And so God has let us know ahead of time what's coming. He has warned us. In the Old Testament, he said, a Messiah is coming, born of a virgin, you know, and all of those things. And now that all of that is fulfilled and Christ is back in heaven, he now is saying to us, you know, these things are coming on the earth just before Christ returns. Let me just say to you, next Sunday, from Revelation 19, I'm going to be preaching on the second coming of Christ. It would be a great, great time to bring a friend. It would be a wonderful sermon, message to hear for someone that you are hoping and praying will come to the Lord. It'll be very encouraging, but also show the side of what's going to... So I would really encourage you to bring a friend next Sunday. So because he loves us, Jesus has given his people three warnings about the future and about the end times. Number one, he says to you and I, it's in Matthew 24 and other places, Jesus said to us, be ready. Be ready. Make sure you are ready. And when I said God tells us what's coming, he tells us what's coming because he wants us to be ready. Everything God does is redemptive. He wants people to be saved. We see that from the Word. So he's saying to us, be ready. I'm telling you what's coming. I'm telling you, in the same way the Old Testament events were all fulfilled, in the same way these prophetic events in the New Testament are going to be fulfilled. So these are not symbolic in the book of Revelation. These are events that are going to happen. And that's why I'm talking about the person in the moment I'm going to talk about this morning. Second thing he says is terrible times are coming upon the earth. In fact, Jesus said, you've heard me say it last week, the times that are coming in the seven-year tribulation, Jesus himself said, they are going to be the worst times in the history of the world. There has never, ever been a time like it before, and there will never, ever be a time as terrible again. The seven-year period that's coming. And you know what, folks, honestly? I mean, I'm guessing what I'm saying here next. It could begin next week. It could begin next month. It could begin next year. Like, this terrible, terrible time. So he's saying terrible times, terrible events, and terrible people are coming on the earth. The rapture is going to take place. Make sure you're ready to stand before God. Make sure there's a couple of places in the Word where God said to people, get your house in order. Make sure your life is in order, because when you least expect it, Jesus is coming. And on that day, everything for every person on the planet is going to change. And the third thing he said, which is a major message over and over and over, he said, do not be deceived. I'm going to show you some verses throughout the morning as to the deception that this Antichrist, that this man of lawlessness is going to bring, that ultimately Satan is going to bring. The deception is going to be so powerful that virtually no one on earth is going to be able to resist it. Remember, though, you and I are in heaven with the Lord, because we have been evacuated, rescued, as long as you know the Lord. So let me show you one or two verses Put up the next verse, if you would. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way. And then we're going to read some things in a minute. Then God began to reveal to them about this evil man that is coming upon the earth. He said, do not let anyone deceive you. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10, talking about this evil man that's coming, he says, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refused to love and accept the truth that would save them. So one of the key questions for you and I this morning is, are you ready? It's the most important question right now. Are you ready? Do you have a close, personal relationship with Christ? I said this last Sunday, and I say it in my church, because in every church, likely there are people that are not saved. Because you come to a church, because you walk in the building of a church, it doesn't mean you're right with God. It doesn't mean your sin has been removed. Because what separates us from God? Our sin. And it's Christ on the cross who dealt with our sin. And we need to be sure that we have that close relationship with Christ where we have asked Him for forgiveness, where we have confessed our sins to Him, where He has adopted us into His family as a child of God. One of the key truths in the Word is that the moment you make Him the Lord of your life, the moment you accept, believe, and receive Christ into your life, He takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, what the Bible calls it, and He puts you into the kingdom of God. And He writes your name down in His book of life, and He adopts you into His family, and you are a child of God, part of the family of God. If that's you, would you say amen? Amen. And what a wonderful, yeah, give the Lord a good praise offering, would you? And so He says to us, do not be deceived, and make sure you're ready. Listen, being ready does not mean perfect. Turn to the person beside you and say, I'm not perfect. And you know, none of us are. So being ready doesn't mean you're perfect. It simply means you have a personal relationship with Christ. So listen, you know, I'll do this and I'll get rolling. I hope you're praying this. I've had a young man, I forget his name, he's talked to me each Sunday the last 2 weeks. And he comes up to me and he's talking to me about revival. I want you to know my heart. I am praying. I have been praying for 35 years that the nation of Canada would experience revival from the Lord, that God would pour out His Spirit on our nation. We have prayed hours and hours and hours and called on God and stood on the promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I will hear their prayers and I will heal their land. We are desperately praying for revival, because when revival hits, almost always many, many people get saved. And we want children and teenagers and adults to be saved and be brought into the kingdom of God. Would it not be wonderful to come in here on a Sunday and have 10 services because you can't fit everybody in? That's the way I believe the church of Jesus Christ should be. Let's keep praying and let's seek in God that revival would come. All right, there we go. All right, so the reason too that we need to be ready is because Jesus said, I'm coming at a time when you least expect it. So we are looking forward to the return of Christ. But let me tell you now, there's another man coming, this evil man I've mentioned, and I know many of you know already what I'm talking about, who is going to make a sudden appearance on the earth. And before Christ's second coming, he's going to appear. And not many people are waiting or looking for him, because he will be the most evil man who ever lived. I believe he's alive right now. I believe he's an adult somewhere, maybe involved in government right now. Let me tell you why this morning I'm speaking about him. I've tried to hit the highlights, the main points in the book of Revelation, and there's so many. And so I wanted to talk certainly about you know, the rapture, and we talked about it the first week. I wanted to talk and just show you about the judgments that are coming, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls. But I ended last week in the last half with showing you biblically that I believe with all my heart that we will not be here for those judgments because we are the bride of Christ. We will be removed from this earth. We will be in heaven. He's calling the ambassadors home before the war begins. And we are going to be with the Lord. And so one of the obviously key characters on the earth during the tribulation is going to be this one that they call the Antichrist. And so this morning, I want to tell you some things about him. God tells us this evil man has a number of different names. They call him in Revelation 13. We're going to read it in a moment. They call him the beast. In Thessalonians, he's called the man of lawlessness. You and I call him the Antichrist. And I want us to see this morning what God tells us about this coming evil man. And do you know why we need to know? We need to know about him because, number one, we need to know what's coming so we will be ready now, so we will not be a part of anything he does on the earth because we'll be in heaven with the Lord. Can you say amen? Second, though, is that we need to warn people. You and I need to understand what's coming and what's going on. So when people ask us, it doesn't happen often, but on occasion when people find out I'm a Christian or I'm a pastor, they'll say to me with a little bit of skepticism, do you really believe in this, you know, 666 and Antichrist and all of that? I said, absolutely, 100%. He is a person probably alive on the earth right now, and all of that is coming. And you need to be right with Christ. Otherwise, you're going to be here for his reign of terror. And so you need to know. So I want to, there's two main passages about the Antichrist we're going to read this morning. You can turn there in your Bibles. Even though it's on the screen, it's always good if you turn to it in your Bibles. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 12. And then we're going to go to Revelation 13. Now in Galatians 1, the Apostle Paul said, that, and he wrote this, he was inspired by God to write this. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, everything I have learned and I'm teaching you, I did not learn from men. I was not taught by men. I received it as a revelation from Jesus himself. John, who wrote, was used by the Lord to write the book of Revelation, also did not learn any of the book of Revelation from men. He was given a revelation. He was shown it. It was uncovered for him by God, and he wrote what he saw. The Apostle Paul said, I'm teaching you, I'm giving you what the Lord has showed me. So everything we're going to read here and other writings that the Apostle Paul wrote, remember, he didn't learn this from other men. He received it as a revelation from Christ himself. All right, here we go. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 12. I don't usually use this, but this is the New Living Translation. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day of the Lord will not come until there is a great rebellion against God. He's talking about the second coming of Christ now. Until there's a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, this would be in Jerusalem, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all of this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him, I'll show you this next week, with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception. Notice the power here. Every kind of evil deception for what? To fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. They will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. So this is what the Apostle Paul was shown by Christ is coming, and what he wrote about this man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. That's the revelation that Paul received from Christ about the end times. And so go with me now to Revelation 13, where God gives us even more details about this coming man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, and also about a second evil person called the false prophet, a kind of assistant to the Antichrist. And many call these three, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the unholy Trinity. All right, so before we read it, let me give you, the Antichrist, I said, is going to be a very evil, demon-possessed, what the Bible says, leader of the entire world. There's going to be a one-world leader at that time during the tribulation, and it's going to be the Antichrist. The false prophet is also going to be a very evil, global, religious leader who will lead the entire world astray. There will be a time halfway through the tribulation when there will be a one-world government with the Antichrist as the head, one leader over all the world. There will be one religious leader. There will be one religion, and that will be the false prophet, and we'll read more of what he does in just a few moments. The Bible says they will both get all, the Bible is very clear on this, they will both get all of their power from Satan, and they will oppose and work against everything that is good, everything that is God, and every person that has anything to do with God. So Revelation 13, that we're going to read parts of in a moment, is divided into two sections. Verses 1 to 10 talks about the first beast out of the sea. This first beast out of the sea is the man of lawlessness, is the Antichrist. The second part of Revelation 13, verses 11 to 18, talks about the false prophet, this false religious leader that's coming. So listen, how many remember Batman and Robin? Pastor, how in the world does that have anything to do with the book of Revelation? Well, Batman and Robin were called the dynamic duo. These two are more like the demonic duo. And they will work evil and work specifically to advance Satan's plans and schemes. So just so you understand, you can read it in Revelation 12. The dragon is Satan, states it very clearly, Revelation 12. The dragon is Satan, the first beast out of the sea is the Antichrist, and the second beast out of the earth is the false prophet. All right, here we go. Revelation, I know this is a lot of information. I hope you can. Revelation 13, verses 1 to 8. So again, remember, the dragon is Satan, the beast is the Antichrist. So the dragon, Satan, stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast, the Antichrist, coming out of the sea. The sea represents all the nations of the world. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled, this is out of the book of Daniel, the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon, Satan, gave the beast, the Antichrist, his power and his throne and great authority. Now, he gives us some information here. One of the heads of the beast seems to have had a fatal wound. So he's going to be attacked or shot or stabbed or something. But the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast, the Antichrist. People worshiped the dragon, Satan, because he had given authority to the beast, the Antichrist, and they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like this beast, the Antichrist? Who can wage war against it? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months, that's 3.5 years, the second half of the tribulation. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every, listen, how many people it has authority over? It was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. So understand that in this 7-year tribulation, which takes place before the second coming of Christ, at the end of the 7-year tribulation, we're going to talk about it next week, is the second coming of Christ. So during the 3.5 years, the final 3.5 years, but for the entire tribulation, there's going to be a one world leader, the Antichrist. There's going to be a one world religion headed up by the false prophet, and they are raised up and empowered by Satan. That's what's coming on the earth. That's where this world is heading. And when we talk about the Antichrist, we need to understand something. So let me just explain this to you. When the Bible talks about the Antichrist, capital A, the Bible is talking about this one evil man to come that we've been talking about. But the Bible also talks about there being many antichrists, small a. And let me show you the verse, 1 John 2, put up the next one, there it is. It says, 1 John 2:18, it says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the capital A, Antichrist, is coming, even now many antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. So John is saying here that there is one man, capital A, Antichrist, and he's going to rule the entire world during the tribulation. But John also said that in the meantime, there have been many antichrists, small a. And you and I, if I were to say to you, don't say it out loud, if I were to say to you, who are some antichrists that maybe you would consider over the years, people shared quite a number of names. So let me suggest a couple, and you may have some other ones. During John's time, probably the Roman Emperor Nero would have been considered an antichrist. He killed thousands and thousands of Christians. In fact, one of the reasons he had such a terrible reputation is he would take Christians who were living, dip them in tar, and hang them in his gardens and set them on fire in terms of just a decoration in his garden. And he killed and martyred thousands and thousands of Christians. Hitler, many people consider Hitler would be an antichrist, not the antichrist, but evangelicals in the late 1930s believed that Hitler was the antichrist and Mussolini was the false prophet. Another one, Joseph Stalin, the Russian dictator, probably known as the greatest mass murderer of all time. He killed an estimated 30 million of his own people. So Canada has, I think, 42, 43 million people, the equivalent of everyone in Canada except for maybe 12 million people. He killed them. By the way, I found this interesting. Joseph Stalin, from what we can tell, was the very first one who coined this phrase. He was the one who first said, people who cast votes in a country don't determine the election. It's the ones who count the ballots who determine the election. So we got a sign of corruption, way, way back in the time of Joseph Stalin. And the last one, and again, you may think of others, the last one was Idi Amin. Those of you who remember the men from Uganda, against God, killed people and so forth. So the idea is that there is still, even though these may have been antichrist small a, the Bible says there is one man coming, None of these men ruled the world. There's one man coming who is going to rule the entire world. And we're going to read about some of the terrible things he's going to do. He's going to be a global dictator. He's going to force people on the earth to worship him, or else he will kill them. In Revelation chapter 20, you can read it later. For those who refuse, there will be many, many people saved during the tribulation. Many, many people. And many of them, in Revelation 20, it says, will be beheaded because they refuse to worship the beast, the Antichrist, and they refuse to take the mark that we're going to talk about in a few moments. So I want to show you five things about the Antichrist from Revelation 13, and I just kind of put them in order, and I thought it might be easier to understand it this way. So listen, let me just say to you folks, sometimes when you're teaching this, you can feel a heaviness. Listen, you and I are not part of that kingdom. We are part of the kingdom of God. And we have a Savior and a Lord who knew all of this was coming. And so he came down. God came down from the cross and died for you and I. All of our sins were put on him. And you know, I could take testimonies this morning as to how many people here would say that my life changed. He has blessed me. I've gone from darkness to light. I've gone from this to that. And I now trust in the Lord my God. He's coming back one day. There's going to be a trumpet blast. There's going to be a shout and a command. And you and I, in a twinkling of an eye, will leave this earth and go to be with the Lord. And we will be with the Lord forever, never to look back, never to get old, to receive eternal bodies. That's what we have in our future. We do not have this in our future if we know Christ. We are a blessed people of God. Can you say amen? Give him a big praise offering, would you? All right, so let me give you five quick points, and then I want to take a few moments and talk about something that's important. So number one, I want to show you about the wickedness, and I'm going to do this fairly briefly, the wickedness of the Antichrist to come. So in verse 2, you see it there on the screen, it says, the dragon, Satan, gave the beast, the Antichrist, his power and his throne and his and great authority. So the dragon is Satan. The devil is the dragon. Who is the dragon? The dragon is Satan is the dragon. And the Antichrist will be demon-possessed. He receives his throne. He receives his power. He receives his authority. It all comes from Satan. From the very beginning, Satan wanted to be worshipped and followed. And for a brief few moments, he has the whole world, we'll see in a moment, following him. So this coming Antichrist will be a totally, totally evil. He will work against God. He will blaspheme God, we'll see in a moment. And he is thoroughly, completely satanic in how he leads. So he is very, very wicked. Number two, the wounding of. So it appears in verse 3, it says, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed, and the whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. Let me just say that even though the imagery spiritually, and it goes back to the book of Daniel, that he had seven heads and 10 crowns and all of that, this is going to be a man. The Bible says clearly, the man of lawlessness. He is not an angel. He is not a supernatural being. He is a human being who will be demon-possessed, who will do the work of the devil, and he will do everything he can to oppose God and oppose the people of God and oppose anything to do with God. He will be very, very wicked. So the wounding of, so one, some believe that he will be assassinated or he'll be stabbed or he'll be attacked somehow. And what most people believe is that this is a copycat act. In the same way that Jesus died and rose from the dead, in the same way the Antichrist, Satan wanting to duplicate what Jesus did. Why? Because he's trying to deceive people on the earth. I'm not sure if we're going to read the verse. I think we will in a minute, or we already did. He is going to call fire down from heaven. Who in the Bible called fire down from heaven? Elijah on Mount Carmel when he defeated the prophets of Baal. The Antichrist is going to call fire down from heaven, and people of the world will see it. And of course, they're going to go, wow, that's incredible. He is going to have a fatal wound as if he was going to die, and he will miraculously be raised up. He's trying to duplicate and copy what Jesus did. The deception of the people on the earth will be powerful. So he will be very, very deceptive. Number three, the wording of the Antichrist. It says in verses 5 and 6, the beast, the Antichrist, was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies against God and to exercise his authority for 42 months, meaning the second half of the tribulation. Just remember, the first half of the tribulation, he's seen as a man of peace. But at the 3.5-year mark, he goes into the temple in Jerusalem, the abomination of desolation, and he says, we read it earlier, I am God. And from that moment on, he takes total control and demands that every person on the earth, every person on the earth, worship him. And so it says that he is going to slander God, he is going to exalt and boast of himself and blaspheme God. His mouth, you and I would call him a big mouth, he is going to blaspheme God with his words. The warfare of the Antichrist. Remember I told you, many, many, many people, millions of people, if not more, are going to get saved during the tribulation. In verse 7 it says, the Antichrist was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Remember, we are in heaven with the Lord. We are not on the earth. So the people that he conquers, the people that he takes authority over, the people of God, are the people who get saved during the tribulation. And the Antichrist is going to wage war against them. And it means that many people who get saved during the tribulation will be martyred, will be killed. And the Bible says in Revelation 20, they will have their heads cut off. The worship, this is the part where you see how far the deception on the earth has gone. The worship of the Antichrist. It's in verse 4, verse 8, and verse 12 of Revelation 13. Remember, the people on the earth are going to be very, very deceived. They will believe the lies. Verse 4 says, how much of the world? The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast, the Antichrist. People worship the dragon. The dragon is Satan, because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worship the beast, the Antichrist. And they ask, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? Verse 8, all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, the Antichrist. All whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. And verses 11 to 12, then I saw a second beast, here's the false prophet, coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon, the devil. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf, here it is, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. So the false prophet is going to force every person on the earth to worship the Antichrist. And we're going to see more in just one. So what is the deception I talked to you about? It's going to be powerful deception. Look at verses 13 to 15. And the Antichrist performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs it was given to perform, this is the false prophet, on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast, the false prophet, was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. So there's going to be some sort of an image or a statue. People wonder today if AI is going to be involved in this. And this statue at some point is going to come to life. It's going to speak. The people of the world will be absolutely astonished. So when they see the statue speaking, when they see fire coming down from the sky, when they see incredible signs and wonders taking place, they will be deceived because they had never believed in God. that this perhaps is God. And it says the whole world will worship him. And then the final one, number 7, the dominance of, verses 16 to 18, it also forced all people. When you look up the Greek word for all, do you know what it means? All, every single person. It forced all people, great and small. That means kings and rulers and also servants, rich and free, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who is inside calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. So let me just say this to you. I said at the beginning, every one of these events is true. These are not symbolic. These are not stories. This is what's coming. In the same way in the Old Testament, when Isaiah said, you know, the Messiah is going to be born of a virgin, people said, how is that possible? How can a virgin give birth to a child? And you and I know God can do all things. Nothing is impossible with our God. And God is telling us that all of these events are coming. And so how many people here have a credit card or a debit card or both? I mean, I think, I don't know about you, but just for convenience, I never carry money around. I just always use, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's coming a point that that whole system, I've been in lots of places now where they're saying we don't use cash anymore, it's either debit card or credit card. So what's going to happen is that there's coming a day for this Antichrist to take charge. He is simply going to say, no more plastic, no more cards. In order to live, you must serve me. In order for you to live, you must make me your God. And the only way you can prove that, they're not going to call it the mark of the beast. You and I, God's called it that, is that we're going to have a mark on our right hand or our forehead, whatever the mark is or looks like, we don't know, a mark on our right hand and our forehead. And there's going to come a point where they're going to say, your cards, your debit cards, your credit cards will no longer work anywhere. And for you to do any transactions on your computer, to get access to your computer, to use a debit machine at your bank, to do any banking, to go into a store and buy food or clothes or anything, you must have the mark on your right hand or your forehead. And if you don't have that mark, you will not be able to buy or sell anything. You also, and I didn't put it in tonight, you can read it this morning, you can read it later, it also says in Revelation 20 that the mark is visible. So it's going to be very difficult not to hide the fact that you didn't take the mark. If you aren't taken in the rapture and you're left on the earth, the mark is going to be very visible. So if you walk down the street, people will immediately see that you don't have the mark and you don't have the mark on your forehead. Now, you can wear gloves for a while and get away with that, probably, and say, the mark's on my hand. And people will turn you in. People will turn on you. I want to give you a warning, and I want to finish on a positive note. So I want to finish with the warning. Now, let me just say three things, and I'm going to show you a verse. First, understand that the mark of the beast is only going to appear during the 7-year tribulation, and it'll be the second half of the second year tribulation. And that's when the Antichrist is a one world leader, when he's in total control of the world. It's in the final 3.5 years. So here's what I want you to know. Nothing you take now is the mark of the beast. So if you get an injection from your doctor, that's not the mark of the beast. People were worried. Now, everyone has a different opinion on this, so this is just, my wife and I did not take the vaccines during COVID. We just didn't feel we should. But people were worried, is that the mark of the beast? Absolutely not. The mark of the beast is going to be a visible sign on your right hand or your forehead, and it's when you pledge allegiance, when you pledge allegiance to the Antichrist. So nothing now that you take, now I still wouldn't have them put a mark on my hand or my forehead, no matter what they tell me, it's just, but that's going to happen later. Secondly, in order to force everyone to take the mark, I just mentioned, it'll be tied to the financial system so that without the mark, you will not be able to buy or sell anything. You'll not be able to access your bank accounts or pay any bills. And thirdly, here's a key point, and I'm going to show you a verse. When people take the mark of the beast, they're committing their lives to the Antichrist. In effect, they're committing their lives to the devil. There is no turning back. There is no repenting. You are done if you take the mark of the beast. Now, let me show you the verse. It's in Revelation chapter 14. Follow along as I read it. It says, a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their foreheads or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Now, the reason that I read these verses this morning is because it's in the Word of God, and Paul said to Timothy, preach the whole word. And you and I need to know that this is what is coming. And it could begin soon. It could be a little ways away, or it could be soon. We need to know that this is what is coming to our world. So folks, let me tell you, we have an incredible God who loves us beyond any measure of love. And you and I need to be sure that we right now are ready, that we are prepared, that we have a personal relationship with Christ. He is warning, I don't know why, but there's not a lot of pastors that are preaching the book of Revelation. And I think it's because it's a little bit complicated at times, but once you break it down, it doesn't have to be that complicated. But I want you to know, you need to know what we're talking about these days. You need to understand what the book of Revelation is about, because it's all about what's coming in the end times. You need to know it for you to be ready, but you also need to know it to be able to prepare your family and your friends that these things are coming, and it could happen at any time. What did Jesus say about his coming? When you least expect it. And you and I probably don't expect it today or tomorrow. But when we least expect it, it's going to happen. And when the rapture takes place and we are removed from this earth, that the Holy Spirit, as he indwells the church, that the restraining power of the church through the Holy Spirit will be gone. The Holy Spirit will still be here, but that restraining power will be gone. All evil is going to break loose. The Antichrist will be released. It'll be peaceful from the Antichrist point of view for the first 3.5 years, and then the second 3.5 years, all of what you and I have read this morning is going to take place. But even during that time, we said last week, when Jesus opens the first seal at the beginning of the tribulation, the judgments of God are being poured out, the seals and the trumpets and the bowls and maybe the thunders. But you and I, we are blessed because we have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. We have been put into the kingdom of light. We have been adopted into the family of God. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and our names have been written in God's book of life. And when that trumpet blast takes place and the command is given, we will go to be with the Lord forever. This perishable body will be dropped off, and we will receive our eternal bodies. And Jesus said, encourage yourselves with these words. If you belong to Christ, none of this will be here for it, because we have a Savior in God who loves us deeply. Give him a really good praise offering, would you please?
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.